everyone. You're listening to the World Teacher Program for Share International New Zealand on Planet FM 104.6. Each Friday morning, we bring you information from the teachers of the Ages Wisdom. The purpose of our program is to introduce Maitreya, the world teacher for the Age of Aquarius. Maitreya does not come alone. He brings with him the Masters of Wisdom, a group of highly evolved teachers. They work in many fields and can teach us the art of living, how to live in right relationship with each other. With their inspiration, we can transform our civilization, creating justice and peace for us all.
Good morning and welcome to the program. I'm going to begin with an article given by Benjamin Krem's master, and it comes from the book A Master Speaks, Volume 2, and was originally published in the March 2009 issue of Share International magazine. It's titled The Moment Has Come. Eventually, men will realize that they are traveling together on a journey of self-discovery, one which will bring them in time to the feet of the Most Holy. The essence of this journey of discovery is that it is self-enacted and willed, and at the same time is shared by all members, known and unknown, of the human family. True it is that all men are brothers, sons of the one Father, each engaged, consciously or otherwise, in this momentous adventure we call life. Too many today, unfortunately, this adventure is a painful and degrading experience. To millions, it is unjust and barren. The sooner over, the better. Small wonder is it, therefore, that so many see life as drudgery and grind, their child-engendered dreams of achievement and happiness, but distant memories. Men are born to create and grow in self-awareness and need the environment in which that becomes possible. The terrible disease of commercialization has robbed countless millions of their birthright, and as its insidious growth encroaches on all aspects of men's lives, its tentacles of disaster squeeze every generous and human feeling from their hearts. Humanity is in thrall to commercialization and in peril of its soul. What can men do to reverse this process of disaster? Already, the current economic and financial chaos, symptoms of the destructive forces of commercialization, are showing men that they can no longer allow this monster to rule their lives, that they must take stock and assess anew their priorities for a more just and healthy economic structure, which will the better serve their needs. There are, of course, many relatively untouched by the current crisis who see this time as a downturn and look forward in full confidence to the inevitable upturn when we carry on as before. This is no longer possible. The blind can no longer lead the blind. They know not of Maitreya. Maitreya has chosen this moment to fulfill his promise to enter the domain of men and to help them on their journey. He is emerging now. His herald, the star sign of his emergence, is seen worldwide by many and is the signal of his appearance openly before men. Using the television resources of today, he will engage on a series of interviews starting in the US and including Japan and many other countries. As an ordinary man, undeclared as Maitreya, he will speak for all those who have no voice, no spokesman. He will call on men to share the goods of the earth and to embrace each other as the brothers and sisters they are. He will show that if we would have peace, there is only one way to achieve it. That is by the realization of justice throughout the world. and that justice can only be achieved through sharing. We await the response of all men and women of goodwill in this, our world. And since that article in 2009, Maitreya has actually given many television interviews throughout the world, in the major, most populated countries at least. Incognito, he does not announce who he is. He appears as an ordinary person, sometimes as part of a panel, sometimes by himself. And gradually, through these continuing interviews, he is becoming more known to people, and his energies and his ideas are being shared with many, many people. So ultimately, that will lead to what's called the Day of Declaration. If you're interested in knowing about that, check out the website share-international.org and you'll find some information there. Going on with the program, the next article is from the Point of View section of the magazine, and this piece is titled Oxfam: Single Billionaire Produces a Million Times More Emissions Than Average Person. It's by Jessica Corbett, and I think was originally published on the commondreams.org website. With the United Nations Climate Change Conference underway in Egypt, Oxfam on Monday, 7th November 2022, released a report highlighting how billionaires' investments produce massive amounts of planet-heating emissions that must be reined in to ensure a habitable planet. The group's analysis, titled Carbon Billionaires: The Investment Emissions of the World's Richest People, reveals that the investments of 125 billionaires emit 393 million tonnes of carbon dioxide equivalent each year, or the same as the entirety of France. Putting that figure into an individual context, the report explains that the annual average tops 3.1 million tonnes of carbon dioxide per billionaire, or over a million times higher than the 2.76 tonnes that is the average for people worldwide who are in the bottom 90%. And as Nafkoti Darby, who's the climate change lead at Oxfam, said in a statement, these few billionaires together have investment emissions that equal the carbon footprints of entire countries like France, Egypt, or Argentina. And goes on to say the major and growing responsibility of wealthy people for overall emissions is rarely discussed or considered in climate policy making. This has to change. These billionaire investors at the top of the corporate pyramid have huge responsibility for driving climate breakdown. They have escaped accountability for too long. Emissions from billionaire lifestyles, their private jets and yachts, are thousands of times those of the average person, which is already completely unacceptable. And she goes on to say, but if we look at emissions from their investments, then their carbon emissions are over a million times higher. The report similarly stresses that by looking at how the richest behave as investors, we can demonstrate not just their role as consumers of carbon, but also their role as wealth holders who own, control, shape, and financially profit from production processes that release greenhouse gases into the atmosphere. And the short form for greenhouse gases is GHGs. And her comments continue. Ordinary citizens often do not have a lot of control over their energy choices, particularly those in low or middle income groups. Poor public transport options can mean that people are forced to drive to work, for example. And the document points out, in contrast, investors can choose where they put their money. They can choose to put it into fossil fuel industries or other highly polluting activities, or into the activities of other corporate actors that are clearly failing to do enough to reduce their carbon emissions. The decisions that investors make now can potentially determine our emissions for decades to come. For instance, bad decisions on infrastructure investments can commit us to high levels of GHGs far into the future. According to Oxfam, 24% of billionaire investments in our sample are in the consumer discretionary sector, with 18% in consumer staples and 11% in financials. In terms of high polluting industries, 7% of investments are in energy and 7% in materials. By comparison, energy corporates make up 4.7% of the S&P or Standard & Poor's 500, and materials make up 2.5%. The document further notes that there is one renewable energy company in our sample. Climate scientists, along with energy, health and policy experts, continue to stress the need for governments across the globe to swiftly and dramatically strengthen plans to cut GHG emissions, especially if there's to be any hope of meeting the 1.5 degrees Celsius Paris Agreement target. Speaking from the COP27 summit in Sharm el-Sheikh on Monday, UN Secretary-General Antonio Guterres warned that we are on a highway to climate hell with our foot on the accelerator, and he advocated for greater urgency, stronger action, and effective accountability. Darby from Oxfam argued that we need COP27 to expose and change the role that big corporates and their rich investors are playing in profiting from the pollution that is driving the global climate crisis. And they can't be allowed to hide or greenwash. We need governments to tackle this urgently by publishing emission figures for the richest people, regulating investors and corporates to slash carbon emissions, and taxing wealth and polluting investments. Oxfam estimates that worldwide, a wealth tax on the ultra-rich could raise $1.4 trillion annually to go towards helping nations of the global south adapt to a climate emergency that they largely did not create, but which is disproportionately affecting them. The super rich need to be taxed and regulated away from polluting investments that are destroying the planet, Darby said, also urging governments to put in place ambitious regulations and policies that compel corporations to be more accountable and transparent in reporting and radically reducing their emissions. And she finishes by saying, to meet the global target of keeping warming below 1.5 degrees Celsius, humanity must significantly reduce carbon emissions, which will necessitate radical changes in how investors and corporations conduct business and public policy. And again, that was from the commondreams.org website. And to finish with, here's a series of question and answers. This is also from the December issue. And as I've said in previous programs, and probably worth repeating, at every lecture he gave around the world, virtually every day of his life, Benjamin Cream was asked numerous questions covering a vast range of topics. And so Share International magazine draws on this large recorded resource and published answers produced by Mr. Cream and his master over the years, none of which have yet appeared in Share International magazine. And the first question is from, it's an interview that was given with Benjamin Cream on a program called Phenomenon News on the Air in Detroit, Michigan, US in June 1993. The question that was asked, or the first question is, could you please explain so-called natural disasters, earthquakes and so on? Why are there so many? Mr. Cream's reply: this unbalanced world is the result of our destructive thought forms, our own destructive attitudes that bring imbalance to the world. For example, we have earthquakes and more earthquakes. They will continue as long as we carry out underground nuclear explosions. It is inevitable, so it's in our hands. I don't mean that they are responsible for all the earthquakes. There are different reasons for earthquakes. But the vast majority of the present earthquakes are the direct result of the so-called controlled underground nuclear explosions. You cannot have one without causing an earthquake somewhere in the world. The other effect of our wrong thought and actions is the influence it has on the weather. People don't see the connection, but everything in nature is interconnected. The destructive thought forms of humanity antagonize and, as it were, shock out of equilibrium the elemental forces which look after the weather patterns of the world. That's why we have these most extraordinary, unbalanced weather patterns everywhere. As soon as we come into equilibrium, as soon as we create peace and justice, and therefore harmony in the world, then the elementals themselves will also come into equilibrium, and the weather patterns will be restored to their ancient rhythm. Another question, is that the same as the floods that they're having in Mississippi and Missouri? Mississippi floods, the earthquakes, the torrential rain, the unseasonal weather, the hurricanes, and all of that. To some extent, we always have that, but not with this intensity and out of season and so on. All of that is the direct result of the destructive thought forms of humanity. We have to recognize the great law of cause and effect. Every thought, every action we have sets into motion a cause, and the effects of these causes make our lives for good or ill. We are doing it to ourselves. Next question. So our consciousness is really changing the world? What Maitreya says is that when the inner environment is in harmony, then the outer environment comes into harmony. The imbalance in the world is because we are inwardly unbalanced and out of equilibrium, and therefore we're destroying our planet. We're destroying our environment, but this will become a priority in the world. As soon as the fact of the starving millions is addressed with the restoration of peace, then we must tackle the environment and restore it to health. Otherwise, there will be no planet. So all these things are connected. What we will come to realize is that what we call God, what we call nature, what we call humanity are one and the same. They are all interconnected, and you cannot do harm to one aspect of yourself or the environment without harming the whole. We have to have faith and the sense of connectedness that God and humanity are in close relationship. It is always the interconnectedness of God and man and the need for peace, for justice, and the need to address the direct problems of the world that affect all humanity. Next question. It is part, again, of the raising of consciousness, and we also won't find the most spiritual places in our churches, I suppose. Maitreya says, there is one place you can find me, and that's in your heart. There I always am if you are detached. He says that there he is always with you, and he says, search for me in your heart. He also says, look for me in the dark places where hunger and strife abound. I can be found in all the dark places of the world where people suffer. And he is here to help end that suffering of humanity because he is the Lord of love. Every suffering soul is served by him, for he comes to help restore happiness to the world. Maitreya means happiness, the happy one, the one who brings happiness to the world. Another question. I have to tell you, I think I was interviewing you in my dreams last night. You and Maitreya seemed to be there. I don't know if Maitreya was really there, but this is the first time I've ever done an interview in my dreams. This is the way he appears. He appears most commonly to people in dreams in a thought form they recognize. And the next way he appears is as a kind of vision, not really solid, but not dreaming. And the third way is an actual solid physical appearance in many forms, and this is to individuals and groups. He appears to the fundamentalist groups around the world in person in this miraculous way. And that's it, folks. That's all we can have time for. Thank you for listening. If you'd like more information, check out the website, share-international.org. And wishing you all a lovely week.